An urge to hurry came over me, an urge to finish the count quickly, get the damned thing done. So what if the lower balcony was empty, barren, devoid of Mr. Three? So what if I came up with a different number than last time? What did it matter if there were 2 or 3 or 5 or 15 of us there? We weren't exactly great conversationalists. This was no lively social occasion. Most of the time, we just walked around, doing our best to ignore each other. I mean, it wasn't as if one of us was taking up a collection to order out for a fucking pizza. Just who the hell cared? How many of us, dislocated and unsociable beings, were stuck there in that goddamn station anyway? That was the catch. The one who cared was sitting in my seat, was myself. Was Mr. Four, the one who could not count himself, who could hardly become himself until I found and counted Mr. Three. There was a time earlier in my life, not that long ago, but so separated from the present that it seems I'm remembering a different person. A time when uncertainty, not quite knowing what was going on, actually gave me pleasure. You could have called me a connoisseur of ambiguity, of novelty, of the interplay between prediction and surprise. I was a guy who took delight in viewing optical illusions and sleight-of-hand card tricks, in jumping back and forth from one point of view to another. And this enthusiasm went beyond games and play. When it came time to explore a territory as seriously elusive as my own fears and failings or another person's desires, I would embark like an adventurer, paddling through unmappable jungles where the rivers changed course daily and the iridescent insect landing on my hand was not a pest, but a discovery. If indeed it was myself who used to feel that way, if indeed I once had an aptitude for extracting joy from confusion, all such feelings and faculties were now departed, stripped from me in the chaotic swoop of changes, the turbulent churnings of something coming to a boil that had spilled over and deposited me, along with 3 taciturn strangers, there in that cold, dark terminal. Now I hated uncertainty, hated the pervasive sense of senselessness, hated my own conviction that I would never understand what the hell was happening, hated it more than I hated all the locks on all the doors and gates of that station, more even than I hated the emptiness which swirled mockingly above me. And so, instead of hurrying, I slowed myself down. First, I froze my gaze on the spot where it happened to be resting, one of the marble pillars guarding the doors of the lower balcony. Then, with my neck and jaw trembling from the deliberate retardation, I slowly raised my eyes still higher. In tiny ratchet steps, my gaze moved upward, up along the marble pillar, up across a painted oxcart's wheel, across the oxcart itself and its load of hay, up at last to the upper balcony. That final and complicitous rim around the unforgivable emptiness.